You're listening to the Starving Artists Blog Podcast, dedicated to helping artists like you do what you love and get paid for it. Hi, and welcome to episode 9 of the Starving Artists Blog Podcast. This is Stephanie Toland.
And this is Mark Toland, and welcome back.
Yeah. We're a day late this week because of some unforeseen construction happening yesterday when we set up to record, so...
So we apologize for that, but we're back again this week with some exciting topics to talk about. I started a vlog, meaning I'm putting out like a daily video now, 5 to 7 minutes. And it's basically just what I'm doing, but instead of doing some magic or mind reading on it, which can be quite taxing and takes a lot of prep work, I'm just trying to kind of do a video diary of my life on the road, which is good. It's another pursuit. Right. It's been fun, and I'm enjoying doing it. And it kind of got us thinking about... utilizing all aspects of what you do for creativity, right? There's going to be things that bring in money. There's going to be things that are just like creative pursuits and then kind of overlaps in the middle.
Right.
And I've been going through a lot of that lately because a lot of what I do is very commercialized work for corporate events. And then a lot of what I do is kind of on the side for fun. And, the dream of what I wish I was doing oftentimes isn't what I make money for necessarily, but it's still art. And right. That's an important thing to remember.
Yeah. This subject of getting paid for your passions is sort of what I think we're trying to focus on today. And it's a tricky one because it doesn't work for everybody. And there are so many compromises that you make in the pursuit of just trying to make money that, you know,
right.
You sort of can lose sight of why you started doing it in the first place.
Right. It's important to know that, like, I'm doing a corporate show, so I have to keep it clean. It doesn't have much content in the way I would like to get a little more intellectual and all these things. And it's really just supposed to be a clean, funny, entertaining, amazing show. And so I have to remind myself all the time, like, I'm still doing what I love. I'm still doing my passion. It's just a version of my passion. It might not be the full-blown 100% what it is, but right. It's 60-70%. That's a great thing. That's an accomplishment right there.
Mm-hmm. And lately you've sort of been describing it as sort of your full-time job. Like the equivalent of your full-time job is doing these corporate shows and traveling a bunch. And it's not always just fun and doing what you love and you know, it's a lot of hard work, but it brings in the money, which allows you to then dream up a big, you know, theater show right. And to do these videos and to do these side projects that right. sort of fulfill the more creative side of you.
Right. As ridiculous as it sounds, the corporate work is almost like my waiting tables or barista, you know, because in a way it is my kind of steady income that is giving me the flexibility to do other things. And that's interesting because we're all about doing what you love and getting paid for it, but you need to find the chunk of what you do that will bring in money consistently, and it might have to be a little more commercialized so that you can experiment. You can do a fringe sure. festival or a gallery
and, exhibit yeah, and or that, something. And that's where some people may drop off and say, well, then I'd rather just have a regular old job where I'm not doing that. And
sure.
and then just continue to pursue creatively on the side. And, you know, we're all for that, too. It's
sure.
it's whatever works for you.
Right.
Really. And, you know, I got out of college and was starting sort of thinking about auditioning and doing dance, I quickly realized that turning it into a career where I was going to get paid for it took all the fun out of it. It really just sucked all of my energy out of what I loved to do because I realized that putting a number on it and expecting to get paid for it and be able to support myself was not, it made what I loved about it go away.
Right.
So I've had to do other things
right.
while still dancing on the side.
And that's fine. Yeah.
And that works for me.
Right. It all depends what you want out of it and what you need. Like we've talked about it previously, I didn't want to do kid shows and I could make good money doing that. I'm great with kids, but wasn't something I wanted to do. I had to really, it's taken me a long time to really narrow my focus and find what I felt fulfilled and comfortable doing to make money without part of me dying inside when I was yeah. doing it, you know? So that's good though. But that's a, It's rough because I know we thought we were going to change the world back in college with art, you know.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But you have to figure out, are you going to eat or are you going to be a true starving artist? Like, to me, starving artist is our it's our joke because we're not starving. We're working hard to not be that. But it's not through our changing the world attitude anymore. It's through allowing ourselves to realize, okay, we got to pander slightly and we've got to do enough to bring in money while at the same time I'm doing, you know, I've got a couple shows in the works that won't be that and some YouTube projects and mm-hmm. things, but it's all in the spectrum of creativity. And that's a good positive yeah. that comes out of it.
Well, and there's also this idea, this, that I think is important to touch on that, you know, you can't, it won't work if you sit back and say, I'm going to do this to make money. And then you try to create in order to make money. Like, that just inevitably fails. You can't just decide, like, hey, I'm going to make videos and get paid for it. And right. so how do I get there? Or I'm going to dance and someone's going to pay me
right.
to dance. Or it's a great point. You. Like, you can't, there's a lot of work that goes into it. And you really, whenever you do anything creative like this, anything in the arts, it has to come from a place of genuine love for the art. And then later on down the road, you know, you might start getting paid, and it's just sort of like you realize, like, oh, I could get paid for what I've been doing.
Right.
And then you sort of start putting the blocks together.
Right.
You know, and building a career yeah. out of it. But it really has to start from a place of passion. There's no, you can't just decide, hey, I'm going to sell paintings and now I need to learn how to paint.
Right. Well, you know, I've been reading a lot about YouTube because I'd like to have more subscribers. And I'm not in any way thinking I'm going to be a viral sensation or make tons of money off it. I just want to have a little bit of an audience so I can share some projects. And I was reading about a guy, someone asked him, you know, how do you get views? I've been working at this for really long. You know, I'm having a hard time building it up. And his comment back was, the people who do it would hate to admit how long it actually takes, meaning it takes so long to build up the audience and do it. So if you're trying to do it just because you want to be successful right away, forget it. If you're trying to be an overnight success, forget it. It takes years and years and years. So you might as well do it from a place of passion, from a place of love, because you enjoy it and know that, like, you know, you'll reap what you sow. The right. the fruits of your labor will pay off eventually. You just can't control or know when.
Yeah, that's just the world of the arts. And I always sort of when I'm needing to encourage Mark or give him some, you know, some uplifting words, I always tell, like, the work will eventually pay off. I just have to keep believing that because we keep putting in the work. And every now and then we look around and we're like, what are we gaining from this? Like, what? But, you know, there's no other option. We just keep going forward. And I tell him that eventually, you know, I can't say how it will work out, but eventually it will work out.
Right. And on the flip side of that, sometimes something happens, we're like, holy shit, that actually paid off. And it was 2 years in the making and we forgot that was even a project. Like, my weekly show fell in my lap last year
mm-hmm.
and it'd been a, you know, we'd worked on it before in Chicago and it tanked. It went under. It was terrible. I think we lost money. And then I did a free one in Florida that was wishy-washy. And then we sat on it for a year and then it just happened. And that's so bizarre, but that was steady, steady work. And it's been the same with your photos. It's been kind yeah. of a gradual thing that next thing you know, you're yeah. doing a wedding out of nowhere, you know? So.
Yeah. It just takes so long. So, yeah, so it really has to be, every now and then we have these moments where we're like, oh, you know.
Panic.
But, yeah, panic, what are we doing? Why couldn't we choose something, quote unquote, normal? But
secure.
Yeah, secure. But honestly, we wouldn't be happy doing anything else. And, yeah, it really, really has to come from a place of passion. And you can't be deciding that you're going to get paid for it. You right. know, that you're going to monetize it yeah, so early
it's
on.
It's all about hard work. If you work hard, it'll come. It'll happen. It just comes different time for different people and different artistic genres. And that's why we speak in such broad terms, because you know, it's way, I think the progress can be seen differently in different fields. And that's why I can't speak to everyone, just kind of to my own.
Right.
But right. That is something, you know, that's something that when I'm at a corporate event, people say all the time, I eat dinner with a lot of these people. You've been there. You've eaten dinner with people. We crash corporate events.
Yeah, we crash corporate events. It's pretty fun.
We could get into pretty much any corporate event.
Oh, yeah, they're so easy. Like, you could just grab a name tag. Sometimes there's not even name tags sometimes. And you just waltz in, especially if you have a camera. They just assume that you're an event photographer.
Right. Dress nice. Yeah. Carry a camera or a briefcase.
And
grab
a
name tag.
I just
walk in.
Nobody says anything. I eat at the buffet.
It's like that scene in Up in the Air with George Clooney where they just grab name tags in the hotel and join the party.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we do, except we're invited. But
yeah, but we could go. And you guys could go too if you wanted.
Totally. Yeah, come to my next show if we're in the same city. But I'm sitting there at the table, and you've been there, and the thing they always say is, it's got to be great to do what you love. And I love hearing that, because that was my dream when I was younger, was to move away to a big city and do what I'm doing, and I'm doing it. And that's so just an incredible feeling to wake up every day knowing that's what you're doing. And it's fulfilling, and it's nothing but hard work. It seems easy. The vlogs seem like all I do is eat and go to the gym and hang out with you, but it's really the rest of the day
constant,
spent working, and that's 5 minutes of the day on camera. So don't give up is our main point of this, I think, because we're not, even when we question, even when we're like, oh, there's so many like better routes.
Yeah, and I think don't lose sight of
why you got started, why you
love it. And if you know, doing commissioned works or getting paid to do shows or whatever your field is, you know, have some side projects that bring you back to that just creative, just for fun place.
Right.
Because that's important to keep moving forward. Sometimes you just have to, like, you can't, there's always going to be compromises when somebody else is paying you to do something creative.
Right.
I think there was actually, it was interesting. I can't remember where I read it, but it was something about commissioned like paintings and artworks. And they were measuring like the level of creativity. Like they were like polling people on which works they thought were more creative. And by a long shot, the works that were purely the artist's inspiration, no parameters, were voted more creative than commissioned works.
Interesting.
Because there's always a parameter. There's always something that you're having to edit that you can't fully be your creative self on. So that was interesting. I'll try to find it and share it on the blog.
It's something the viewers kind of just inherently understood without they intuited that.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just people who were observing and they didn't know which one was which.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
I'll try cool. to find it and share it on the blog.
Yeah,
it was very interesting. So that just highlights the importance of continuing your creative work purely for yourself on the side, you know.
Right.
Guess that's important. And
the best thing
you
said was just not to lose sight of why you did it.
Yeah. So right now for Mark, that's doing video projects and vlogs to sort of be his creative outlet while he's doing corporate shows, which are very tiring and time consuming and wonderful at the same time. I mean, you're so lucky to do what you love.
They're fun shows, don't get me wrong, but I can't be artistic like I wish I could.
Right.
And I don't try to be.
And it would be easy to fall into the trap of sort of just going and putting everything on sort of autopilot and going through the motions and just, you know, and sort of making it a job.
Right.
Like, I think there are performers who really do that, and they sort of lose a little bit of their, they become very bland and sort of, you know, almost corporate themselves. It's just
something I try to do at each event is do something new or move forward in some way, right? So I'm always trying to work in like a new line or a new trick or a new like I for a long time had a habit of like pacing while I talked. I thought I don't know I guess I thought it was like more captivating, But then I watched someone and they stood at the front of the stage. I think it was a stand up. I was like, oh, that's so much better. So then one show, it's like, I'm going to stand at the front of the stage. And then other shows, it's like, I'm going to raise my rate by $50, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound much, but it's like, I'm worth this much. Why have I been charging that much? And right. Now suddenly the rate's higher. And then we've gone incrementally up by more and more as we do that. So every gig I try to do something like I get a video testimonial now instead of a rec letter and all these little things. And I think that's something good because it's keeping it fresh.
Thing. I think that is at the heart of sort of our success. Like that's a really good, you don't ever just get there, you know, even after performing as many years as you have, you don't ever just get there and just go. You're always working towards something new, working little small steps. And I think it's the accumulation of all those small steps that that get us where we're
right.
where we're trying to go.
Right, I agree.
That's an important lesson.
Yeah. I try, you know, I don't want to get in a rut and put it on autopilot, as you said. That's why I try to keep it fresh.
I think that's
even with class, yeah. You know, you got to do something. You got to treat it like a game or something to keep moving in the right direction, headed towards your goals and whatever that is. Like now it's a vlog. I carry the camera everywhere and I do it. It's like, I'm always looking for a shot. And suddenly my corporate gigs are going to be way more fun because of that.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. It's like working towards, you know, I think that's going to be the reason that you continue to move forward and reach newer and higher goals that you haven't even set yet, because you're in the mindset of always taking tiny steps forward with right. your art and with, you know, your work.
I hope so. Yeah. But you're biased, but I hope
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Before we move on to another topic, I should mention that we're still looking for artist profiles. And
oh,
if
yeah,
you didn't
yeah.
hear the episode last week, Stephanie had a great idea that we want to feature some of you on the blog, help you get more exposure, you know, just open you up to a new audience and do
right.
a little
and,
bit to
and
help.
Also for us to learn more about how artists in different fields from us are making a living, where they're working, what they're doing, what their process is like. Because I think it's really important for artists who are coming up into the world to see what a career in the arts can look like
right.
and the diversity of what it looks like, so that they feel like they have options and they can say confidently, I want to do this and here's how I'm going to do this.
Right.
And here's how other people have done this. So I really am a strong believer in like the community that we're trying to build. So yeah, we want to feature some artists.
Yes. Yeah, so please email or tweet us. It's info@starvingartistblog.com or Twitter. We're @sartsblog. I will say we've had way more men than women email me. And I don't know if that's just because it was mostly on Facebook. I don't know if that's like the majority of our followers on there right now or what, but I want more women. I want some female artists from all genres. So please email us, because we want to get you up there in the coming days and weeks. And you know, we're probably going to start that here in another week or two. We're still trying to get enough out mm-hmm. that we can have it going.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see. I will share your work. We'll post your photos, your paintings, whatever you give us permission to share. We'll put it on the blog and do a whole feature, and you'll be the artist of that week. And we look forward to finding out all about you. So get in touch.
Yeah. So our next topic that we kind of want to talk about is something that I've been thinking about this week, and it's about knowing when to edit. And it's something that I think goes beyond just in artwork. It's just in life. And I think knowing when to stop and not say something, or stop and not add something, is a crucial component to art and to creation and to just to life, basically.
Right. So 2 points. First, I would say you're much better at this than I am. Stephanie's very concise and I'm extremely verbose, and that's just, you know, that's just something that's me. So I have to work at this, and I'm not as much of an expert on this as Stephanie would be. And second, sometimes it's not even knowing when, it's sometimes you just got to stop. And you got to let your art sit there. Like if I worked forever on my show and was never satisfied, it'd never get anywhere. Or these videos that I'm putting out, I would never be comfortable. So sometimes you have to get to a stopping point. And mm-hmm. it happens in life, it happens in business, and it happens in art.
Yeah, I mean, across the board. And I think the thing that inspired me was that I was sitting in a room, and someone made a comment, And it was sort of an out of context, not really for the moment comment. And nobody laughed and nobody responded. And then they said another one and nobody laughed or responded to their second comment. And then they added a third. And again, nobody reacted. And I thought, wow, like they couldn't, like it wasn't appropriate. Just stop.
Right.
And then that had me thinking about art, and even I forget, I'm by no means like a fashion expert, but I believe I can't remember if it's Chanel or I don't know, but it says always take off like an accessory or two before you leave the house. So it goes across the board, you know, take something off. That's, less is more.
That's so smart, because what you're hitting on is it's not just words, it's anything. It's you know, if you're thinking about adding more to something, step back from it. Maybe it's exactly right where it needs to be, like an accessory or colors on a palette or whatever.
Right. And, you know, like I started thinking about dance and how negative space and stillness, like it seems counterintuitive to stop and to just be still or to let the negative space sort of speak. But I think that is sort of a next step on the path, is knowing when to stop and when you've done enough and when doing more could hurt your piece or your work of art or your social situation you're in or whatever.
Sure. It's maturity and confidence. You know, you got to have that years of experience and also that belief in yourself to just stop right there and understand that that's where it ends. That's right. The cutoff.
And I think for you and your performance, since you do mainly just speaking, it's basically just you on stage, a one man show, talking to the audience. I mean, there's mind reading and magic and all that, but it is essentially you just speaking.
Right.
So I think that when you first get started in something like that, the idea is to fill that silence, is to talk and keep it interesting, and that the only way to keep it interesting is to keep going. But then as you mature and as you realize, like, silence is a powerful tool, and knowing when to pause and let reaction sink in, and, you know, knowing when to add a comment and when not to add a comment,
right.
When you say something could distract instead of add.
That's so great. So it makes me think, like, we spoke about this briefly before we started recording and like a couple days ago, but it's making me think of other things now, even one, and just from my experience. So one is like when you do a magic trick, the moment, let's say I make something disappear, like at that moment, you want to talk so badly. You want to be like, it's gone. See, like, how did you like that? It's gone. Like, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You got to let them react. So you just cut off right there and you let it simmer. Right.
Right.
And what I do is I kind of look at it as from a marketing perspective, almost. Marketers say, and they treat it kind of, it's kind of that icky like marketing thing. But when you're on the phone with someone and you give your pitch, and I'm on the phone a few times and I hate to call it a pitch, but I tell them about my services, and you get to the point, you just stop talking. And it's a game to see who talks first. Because the person who talks first after that point, they say, loses. But I don't like to look at it, because it's a win-win. The client wins because they're hiring me, and I win because I get the gig. That's how I look at it. I'm helping them get somewhere. So I don't like that icky, like, treating it as a game. But there's something to be said for that. You stop talking, let it simmer. And that's what you do with a magic trick, too. You stop, let it simmer, and then they react.
Right. And I think that we're sort of, especially in today's sort of where nobody has an attention span anymore, and for dance in particular, it's like you have to use, you know, music that's popular, and then you have to fill all of that music up with movement and this and that, and it's a flurry of tricks and spectacles, and you know, you hardly even have the time to digest it, and then it's over in 2 minutes and you sort of are like, oh, okay, I guess that was cool,
right? All we hear are noise and sounds all day. So like
right.
You said, silence is a powerful tool. It's amazing when you do have silence. Like today, no construction, right? We've got the rain outside. So suddenly our apartment feels a little different and we're seizing this moment. And last night we saw an improv show, and some of the strongest moments of it were where the improvisers kind of looked at each other and mm-hmm. did a look.
Right, right.
Something about that was so powerful compared to anything else they did. Right. I don't know. But yeah, it's an amazing tool and something people just don't realize.
I think it's something that happens as you go on and gain maturity in your craft and
sure.
You know, and in life is knowing that's an important thing that I don't think is talked about enough is knowing when to leave something alone.
Right.
And also being able to like step back. I don't know if we've talked about this before, but like, I don't know what it would be, what the equivalent would be in other art forms, but in dance, I always appreciated when we'd work on we worked forever on a piece, it seemed like. We would rehearse and rehearse for months, and then we'd have the show, and it would be a weekend-long show. And I always appreciated when the choreographer would sort of gather us around and say, all right, it's yours now. Whatever happens, happens. We've put in the work. Just go on stage and dance. And that is so refreshing because I've been in other situations where the rehearsals are happening down to like 10 minutes before the show starts and the choreographer is screaming and trying to manipulate. And it's kind of like at some point you just have to let go of what you've created and it will never be perfect. But you know, you just have to let it go and then you move on to the next thing. And I think that that's an important lesson because it inevitably makes the performers more on edge because you're worried about messing up. And when you're worried about messing up, you are going to mess up. And the anxiety that comes with it and the inability to sort of let go and just perform is, I hate that.
Sure.
It's like, let go. If you don't have it by now, you don't have it.
Right.
You know, right. And for a choreographer to just put their trust in the performers and say, all right, it's yours. We've done what we've done and go on stage is amazing. I love that.
I know the choreographer that you're referencing and or several of them actually, and then others who didn't do that. But also like I'm thinking about being backstage doing plays or variety shows where people are like reading their lines at the last second and they're like cramming like for a test almost, you know, they're like going so fast. It's like you look over in the corner and you see the person just kind of standing there like taking a drink or just, you know, kind of leaning against the wall calmly. And it's they've kind of just let it go. And they know that they're going to bring on stage what they had at that point and be good. And usually those people end up giving the best performance of the night because they're not in that frenetic, like up to the last second. Like they've got the confidence to just stop and know that this is their best in that moment. Right. And then they'll tweak it in another rehearsal.
Yeah. I think that's the takeaway is to say like, I know that this isn't perfect, but this is the best that I've done right now. And here it is. And I'm going to show everyone and it's out there. And I'll do better next time.
That's one of the best things about art, right? Like it lives and breathes in that moment. It's a photograph that was captured then, and that was the best they had then. If, for instance, for fine art, something that's captured, or like the performance we saw last night, that will never exist again. How exciting is that? They may not have felt like it was their best ever. We don't know. But for us to share in that experience, like how cool, you know, any performance I love.
Yeah.
And that's art. Stepping back, saying, that's the best for now. Here it is. And then moving forward.
Right. It's just, you just have to do it and you have to let go.
Gotta let go.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Very smart. Well, I think that's going to do it this week. Again, sorry for being a day late, but we're going to try to get this in on time every week if possible, but it's getting into the warm months. So we will have some more construction and we'll try to work around it as best we can. Stay tuned for future episodes and get in touch if you want to be featured in an artist profile.
Yeah.
This was Mark Toland.
Stephanie Toland over here.
Thanks for listening. That was the Starving Artist Blog Podcast. If you enjoyed it, be sure to subscribe on iTunes.
Also, head over to starvingartistsblog.com where we share more inspiration and ideas for you.
Want to join the conversation? Email questions and feedback to info@starvingartistblog.com. Thanks for listening.